7th Avenue Pizza, the official pizza of the Soda Pod.
The Soda Pod, the official beer and hockey podcast of 7th Avenue Pizza.
Straight cash, homie.
Welcome back for your 10th installment of Straight Hash, homie. Man, we already kind of talked about it on our Monday episode when we broke down our Thanksgiving and the Wild, but Vikings, again, come out with a big win there on Thursday. Isha, quick highlight of just how much more you love the NFL now that you've got to stuff your face with food, drink a ton of beer, and watch three, what I would call, fairly competitive games.
Yeah, they all delivered as far as, you know, me being a casual fan and being entertained throughout the whole thing. Now, the third game, I will say, like, we were watching the Vikings game, but that was towards the end of the night, towards the end of the day after drinking all day. So I feel like every little play, every time Thielen had the ball, I was just like out of my seat, just like yelling at the screen. I think you even performed a few dance moves towards the end of the game too, when the Vikings started to get back into it a little bit, and they really
I do my karate kicks. I'm not a big dancer.
Yes,
I'm like Mac when I dance.
Oh my god. But they needed this win. I mean, we said coming off the Buffalo win a few weeks ago that, like, okay, is this team for real? They're convincing us a little bit more. Oof, get trounced by Dallas, but come back big against Patriots, a team where your brother, everybody on Twitter, the analysts are all saying terrible matchup for the Vikings, and they were able to weather the storm. And not only that, like, it wasn't like a 1-2-3 point game. Like, they beat them pretty damn good, especially in the fourth quarter coming up big. So it was needed. It was entertaining, and it was such a great way, especially in Minnesota, to cap off the Thanksgiving day.
Yeah. And prepare to be shocked. I'm largely positive coming out of that game. You know, the Vikings offense looked pretty competent against a Bill Belichick defense. Obviously, they're not the team they were a couple of years ago, but it's still a competent defense. And let's just say we've had plenty of occurrences this year where the Vikings offense decides to disappear. I liked what I saw for the majority of the game. I mean, we can get into the nitty gritty and certainly find things that they could have done better, but by and large, happy with the output there. And you beat a Patriots team that, like, it's not like the Patriots were playing bad. Like, even their offense that hasn't actually been that good was moving the ball. And that's not strictly due to defensive woes on our side, which, yes, there's a level of that, but they actually were putting out a pretty solid offensive scheme for the game. The only negative I'll throw in, and this, again, we won the game, so who fucking cares? This might be the only team in history that a Bill Belichick team loses because of special teams. Like, the Patriots, if their special teams is what it usually is and buttoned up, there's a chance we lose that game. But guess what? Doesn't fucking matter. Another one, add it to the win column, and on to the next one, man.
Yeah, well, it was good to see also, like, you know, Thielen chipping in that game as well, because he's been pretty quiet this season. And I mean, it shows when you can gain, what is it, an extra 61 yards with him with the ball in his hand. Fucking right. So let's go.
Ew, let's go. Yeah, now he'll disappear for another 3 or 4 weeks.
That's okay. I had him in that 1 week fantasy game we played. It was a turkey bowl. And so, hey, Hawkinsong had a good game, and so did Thielen. So, ayo, I had them both.
Ayo, ayo, ayo. So now the Vikings come off of that and play the New York Jets this week, who are themselves coming off of a pretty convincing victory, 31-10 over the Chicago Bears. Important caveat, though, this is not the Chicago Bears that we've grown accustomed to the last 4 weeks. Justin Fields was not able to play due to injury, so that pretty much deflated anything the Bears have. I don't know, Isha, if you have any initial thoughts going into this game.
Not too much. I'm just looking at, like, the past teams that they played. You're right. They beat the Bears. They lost to the Patriots, who the Vikings, you know, just beat. The Jets do have a win over the Bills too. I don't know. Like, again, I've watched 2 Jets games this season, like, from start to finish. One was early in the season. One was like 2 weeks ago. I don't know. Like, how would you, I guess, how would you deem this team? Like, are they more offense? Are they more defense? Are they kind of like a mid-grade balance? Like, I don't know.
Zero balance to this team. So the Jets, which is crazy because it basically happened overnight. And maybe it's because I didn't pay enough attention to them last year, but I feel like they were pretty much a dog in most aspects.
Yeah.
And their defense is a top five defense this year. Ooh. Their defense is incredible. Their offense has been what's held them back by and large. Their second year quarterback, Zach Wilson, hasn't been all that great. And like, he's been yanked at this point. He did not play in that game on Sunday. And putting up 31 points against the Chicago Bears doesn't mean jack shit.
No.
But it tells you they've at least got a little bit of confidence and they are finding a way to at least move the ball on offense.
Because I'm just looking right now. It's like they put up a lot of points against the Packers. They put up a lot of points against the Browns, but the Browns also had 30. What was that? It was back in September, but it was like 31-30 for
They've had good games. Even with Zach Wilson, they've had good games. It's just overall, he's been inconsistent.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say. Like, looking even just at their record and how the games played out, it's like a lot of points one game, very little the next. You know, it's very back and forth.
Yeah, so for me, I mean, it is another interesting matchup here, almost like the Patriots were framed, except I think it's a tougher matchup in the sense that, like, we have the better offense, they have the better defense. Like, which one's going to give, right? Yeah, Can our offense overpower their defense, or is our defense going to fall victim to their offense that's, again, not all that great? I mean, we saw the Patriots get new life. They haven't been able to move the ball very well, and I don't think that's all because of the Vikings, but there's still some element of that. I just think this is a really interesting matchup because of what I just laid out. No, I think we're going to learn a lot about where the Vikings sit here after coming off of like a tumultuous stretch, right? Like the high of beating the Bills in Buffalo, then getting absolutely embarrassed by the Cowboys, then home primetime game, which Kirk Cousins actually showed up for, to beat the Patriots. And I just want to see how they come out. I want to see if we can establish offense against this great defense. I want to see if our defense can take care of business against the lesser offense.
That is my biggest thing. It's like, if the Jets offense is not as good as the Vikings, then like, I really want to see a good game from the Vikings defense. And like you said, I want to see them take charge and just like give nothing for them, because that will help Kirk and the boys, like give them whatever chance they have against what you say, a better defense and a tough matchup. Because it seems like those teams that like have a really strong defensive base and can squeak out some points, they're the Vikings' worst nightmare this season.
Yep. And so right now, the odds set by our friends over at Better Edge, again, if you're not on there already, people, get over there, betteredge.com/sodapod for a free $20 sign-up bonus. Looking at this matchup, Vikings are a three-point favorite at home, and the over-under is set at 42.5. And, I mean, right around where that over-under is set, I think that's kind of a good barometer almost. If we were to say, basically, I'll even go with exactly what they have, 42.5. If it goes over, that means like, okay, we either figured it out offensively or our team absolutely like lost it defensively. Yeah. If it's an under, we're at least leaning to, okay, great. We ran into a roadblock. We weren't able to overcome a very, very strong defense, but at least our defense was up to task. So yeah. I'm not a huge fan of this line in general. I don't have a great read on this game with both teams. I haven't seen the Jets offense go up against a real defense. I'm just not sure how to handicap this one. I'm personally not betting it.
Okay, fair.
I didn't know if you were going to interject.
I mean, I'm not going in on over under, but I'll ride or die picking Vikings outright to win. Let's go.
So pick them outright. That means you're laying 155 to make 100.
Let's go. Let's keep it going.
Okay. So Isha feels good about Vikings at least pulling off the win. Doesn't want to give that field goal because honestly, if someone's going to miss the extra point that makes it a 2-point spread instead of three, it's the Vikings.
I have no confidence in any kicker in the NFL except for what was the game we watched at B-Dubs? That guy's a fucking legend.
You mean the guy who was like still 5 yards short?
Yeah, but it was a 67 yards. Was that it?
I think it was 68.
Jesus Christ, dude.
Yeah, like, Justin Tucker just absolutely. And it was big going straight. Pants. Oh, that was the cleanest, straightest kick. He just didn't have the muscle behind it.
And you can't blame him when it's that far, something. but most of all, but I mean, 9 times out of 10, I just am ridiculing the NFL kickers. And again, I'm no professional athlete. I'm no fucking football kicker, but I mean, God damn, dude, it's like those in baseball in the outfield who like, oh, I can't see the ball because of the sun. It's like, dude, you get paid millions of dollars to wear sunglasses. Like, come on. Anyways. Man.
All right. Moving past that one. I don't know if you have anything besides the Thanksgiving matchups that you want to touch on for like NFL wide action.
I mean, CFL season's done, so no, not too much. I'm all ears on what your thoughts are this week, man.
I mean, for me personally, first off, it's important to just give kudos to the Lions for what they did on Thanksgiving. They could have
fun
won
game.
That game.
Fun game.
They played very well. Like, this is a team, especially when you look at the draft picks that they've stockpiled. A couple of years, Detroit Lions might actually be a competitive team. And
wicked
that
jerseys
is
too.
Oh, dude, I've said it before, and Vikings fans, you can like roll your eyes at me. I have always had like a soft spot for the Lions. I've always like kind of cheered for them. Their jerseys are sweet, as Isha mentioned. But for me, it's like they've always pretty much been the unanimous worst team in the division. When you look like across the decades, like they have not been a good team. I liked Matty Stafford, who obviously went and got his Super Bowl. Don't know what the hell's happened to him this year because he's not playing anymore. But man, I want to see them. I want the Vikings and the Lions to be the top two teams every time. And fuck the Packers and the Bears. but they do look good. Like, they people sleep on Jared Goff. He is a real NFL quarterback, and the Lions defense is coming along. It's baby steps, but they're getting there. Across the rest of the league, the biggest things that I need to point out are, first and foremost, the Denver Broncos are just like the biggest collapse disappointment that we have seen in so long. I was never on the train that like they're like one of the top Super Bowl contenders. I didn't think they'd be this fucking bad. There's no way that I thought they'd be this bad. They just lost 23-10 to the Carolina Panthers. Are you shitting me? It's bad. So Russ is not cooking. Like, I think Russ has been poisoned by the cook. That one. And dude, I'm kind of at a loss for words on the Buccaneers. Like, we saw the end of that game at B-Dubs too. That was the overtime win for the Browns.
Yep.
Is Tom Brady washed? Is it something else going on within the org? I know they've certainly dealt with their fair share of injuries this year, but like, you just lost to the Jacoby Brissett Browns in a low scoring game. That's not, I don't know, man. I don't have a lot. I don't have anything positive to say about them. And then the Colts as well were a team that people were so high on this year, they couldn't have bottomed out worse. I still think out of those three teams, the far and away biggest disappointment is the Denver Broncos. I want no part in betting on them. Betting against them, sure, if it's the right matchup. But they just, like, I don't know what they are. I don't think they know what they are.
No, I think Russ honestly just kind of lost his dog, you know, that inner dog to like win, just dig deep and win years ago. Like, he's very much,
he got his hands on that Northern Lights cannabis out in Denver.
It's cannabis sativa. No, it's
no,
marijuana.
It's marijuana. I'm sorry. The best part of that whole scene is Jim going in and being interviewed by Dwight. And
how much weed did you smoke?
No, Dwight, when we came in here, you said I would be conducting this interview. Now, exactly how much pot have you smoked? And Dwight's just in shock. Like, wait, how do I combat this? Well, it's a memory loss drug. Maybe you don't remember doing it.
In regards to Tom Brady, I mean, saying he's washed, I mean, That's almost, I guess, a little disrespectful in that, like, I personally didn't have huge expectations for him this season. You know, Gronk's gone. The team's a little bit different.
Did you know anything coming into this season, though? Like, and all due respect, like, you haven't paid a ton of attention to the NFL. Like, what expectations did you have around their team and their whole division?
I mean, not that they would be this bad, but I didn't think that they were going to make another run for it like they did last year.
I guess the reason that it hits so hard for some of the people is, no, did we think that they were going to be a true Super Bowl contender? Probably not. But you look at their division, dog shit across the board.
Yeah, they should be eating everyone alive.
So, and you don't know the divisions, so let me break it down for you. The New Orleans Saints. Oh, look at that. He did his research. New Orleans Saints, Atlanta Falcons, and Carolina Panthers. Yeah. Those are, whichever team comes out of that division is going to get demolished.
Yeah.
Like, whoever comes in as one of the wild cards, you're praying for that matchup. Praying. Unless by some divine grace, Tom Brady figures it out, they come back and they're a real team. But right now, I don't think that's in the cards for them. I don't.
Yeah, this division makes the North look good.
Yeah, that's a fair statement. I was thinking for a second, like, oh yeah, no, it is actually that bad that's a statement.
Yeah.
All right.
The Lions, Packers, and Bears are way better opponents than the Falcons, Panthers, right, and Saints. Jesus.
Yeah. So let's pivot then into our weekly betting. Again, folks, please check out our partners at Better Edge. That's BETTOR Edge. If you're already on there, awesome. Like, hey, give a follow to the Soda Pod, give a follow to myself. Isha will be on there eventually. We'll gladly give you the follow back, but really want to get into more like interaction on the platform. Want to be betting with you guys or betting against you if you don't agree with our picks. Again, free $20 sign up. If you haven't been on there, betteredge.com/sodapod. And if you are on there, still give us a shout. Let us know if you want to throw some bets together or in opposition of each other. But in light of running all of this through Better Edge now, moving forward, Isha, doesn't make a whole lot of sense to do our teaser picks because teasers with just the marketplace platform that they've established, teasers would be really tough to find someone that wants to take the opposite side of a teaser. So
especially the way that I've been teasing.
No, I think people would take the opposite side of those. but what we're going to do here is three set bets each week, and bear with us. This is a little bit of a stretch, but going to our Minnesota Wild. Well, the way that we like to characterize the logo, the man bear pig, we are going to establish our bets off of the man bear pig mantra. So our first pick, and these are all with the spread, by the way, we are taking a man, quite literally any of the teams that have a mascot that you could argue is a man rather than an animal. Or, you know, I'd argue that the New York Jets certainly aren't a man, even though someone's flying it. I don't know if you really wanted to push that one, I'd listen, but basically anything that you can argue is a human. The second pick being the bear, again, bear with us. This is a little outside of the box, but we're going Wizard of Oz. We're going with lions and tigers and bears. And yes, tiger is Bengal. So yes, either betting in favor of one of those three teams, or if you're unwilling to pick any of the three, you're basically putting your balls on the table and saying none of them are going to win against the spread. You're
basically saying, oh,
that is, that's oh my. And I can see Isha doing that at some point.
Oh yeah.
But yes, you essentially are saying that you would rather bet on all three to not beat the spread. So
that's going
to
be fun too.
That's aggressive. That's aggressive. Yeah. Last one being the pig, and all credit to Isha on this one. I like it. The pig roast, basically picking a team that is favored and picking them to double the spread. So, example, if you were to pick the Minnesota Vikings this week as a -3, if you wanted to bet them, you can go into the Better Edge app and say, I want to bet Minnesota Vikings -6 instead of -3. And you can set the odds accordingly. and someone may take that bet. Never know. But so we're talking about the same thing here. We're taking any spread and we're doubling the bitch. So Isha, I will give you the honors as always, because I can't match your picks to give this a little bit of semblance of fairness. Who is your man for the week?
My man this week, we're going with Belichick's Patriots, baby, over the Bills.
We talked about this before we came on, but you stole my pick there. I very much am on with the New England Patriots, especially I've actually seen them on some other platforms catching 4.5. The spread right now, as we record on Tuesday, with Better Edge, again, BETTOREdge.com/sodapod. Do it. If you guys do it, I'll stop saying it. We are actually looking at a juicy +5.5.
Woo, damn.
And to me, the Buffalo Bills have been through some shit, man. Like,
yep.
Their last couple of weeks, they've had some really emotional games. They've had to navigate out of Snowstorm Buffalo. Yeah, by the way, sound familiar, people here in Minnesota. Snowstorms galore. Then had to go back out to Detroit for Thanksgiving game. And now they're traveling to New England. Jeez. Where, you know, the That's only thing travel. Bill Belichick cares about this year is being able to beat the Buffalo Bills. I thought the Patriots showed a lot of good things against the Vikings. And again, ultimately, if the special teams get cleaned up, which all expectations are that that will happen, I think them getting 5.5 points here is a no brainer. There's always the caveat that Josh Allen is a freak of nature, and
he's banged up too. That's the thing,
right? But if he has one of those games, like, there's nothing you can do about it. Sorry, you lost your money. Outside of that, I'm a big fan of the 5.5 for the Patriots. So good pick, Isha.
Despite picking them, I will say though, like, if with the travel, we're just the last 3 weeks of traveling for the Bills with, you know, their quarterback nursing an injury, though he's been looking great despite it. Like, if they can overcome this, like, fucking props to them. They are like the real deal and like the team to fear the most in the league. Because if they can get through all this shit and say they trounce them, say like, my man pick doesn't work out for me. It's still, you got to give respect. Statement because went. God damn, that's something. And it's just showing that like we are levels above the rest. And you know, it's always cool as sports fans to see like every season a team or two like show that, right? So obviously picking the Patriots, rooting for them this week, but holy fuck, if the Bills win, I mean, that's a hell of a story.
That's fair. My pick then, and Isha, this is going to be a little bit of a prelude for one of your picks, and we'll save it for you to talk about more. But my man is going to be the Dallas Cowboys.
Ooh.
I'm taking them at -9.5 over the Indianapolis Colts. Already talked about it. I think the Colts are absolutely just washed at this point. I do think the Dallas Cowboys are playing for something right now. I think that they're seeing some of the close games that the Eagles are playing and think maybe there's a chance that they can catch them in the division down the stretch. If not, they still want that top wild card spot, because as we mentioned, that's probably the team that's going to end up playing against whoever comes out of the NFC South. So Dallas Cowboys, incredible defense, going to absolutely, dude, Micah Parsons will absolutely maul Matt Ryan. And I do think the Cowboys can figure it out offensively to cover. So I am taking, again, Cowboys -9.5. Isha, your bear, Lions and Tigers and Bears.
Lions and Tigers and Bears. I am not going with the oh my this week. I'm going with the Detroit Lions to beat the Jacksonville Jaguars. Another pick that I apparently stole from you.
Yes, and I mean, it's hard because it's really difficult to truly buy in and believe in the Lions, but based on what we're seeing here,
they've leveled up a bit.
and we saw a pretty impressive, again, going back to B-dubs, no free ads, right? We watched there the comeback that was mounted by Trevor Lawrence. And it just makes me pause and wonder, like, hey, what could happen here? I'm with you. I would definitely pick the Lions side of this, but like, this is far from a game that I'm going to like sit here and put massive money on, because right. I just don't fucking know. I felt way better about Lions +9 against the Bills, if that tells you anything. So, that's all I have to say there, but solid pick. And for me, that only leaves two options, and I'm definitely not going, oh my, that just sounds like asking for trouble to say that none of the three teams will beat their spread. So I'm actually going to take what might seem aggressive in the Cincinnati Bengals +3 against the Kansas City Chiefs.
I thought you'd go with Bears, to be honest.
I have no idea what the status is of Justin Fields. I also don't have a good read on the Packers after them having a solid game. Again, didn't win, but to see the to see Aaron Rodgers get benched and to see the Aaron Cumbent come in and play a competitive game again.
Wasn't he injured? Didn't he have a rib
injury?
There's
no tape.
Rodgers?
I'm sure he had an injury, quote unquote.
I said there was like the camera panned to him, and Joe and I were laughing because it just like he like grabbed his rib and did one of these like old man like, oh my back type of things, and the camera like got it, and I was like, man, what an ugly motherfucker. Like, that was the worst face I've ever seen.
So basically way too many unknowns on both sides of the ball for me to bet either side confidently. And I do think that Kansas City Chiefs have looked good of late. I mean, they did just win in commanding fashion against the LA Rams 26-10. The Rams are the worst team in the league now. All of their players are injured. There's nothing there. They are such a bad team. So beating them 26-10 doesn't tell me shit. Right. And I think eventually the Chiefs are going to have a wake-up call. I do think this is an impactful game too, where both teams are going to get up for because of the what's at stake from last year's playoffs. But Bengals are getting healthier. Joe Burrow has looked good. Their defense is competent. This is kind of a measuring stick game for the Bengals. Like, are you for real or not? Because they've been on a good trajectory here of late. They've won a lot of different ways. They've done it with key players out. I want to see them going up against the Kansas City Chiefs, and I want to see them prove it. And again, getting the 3 points at home, I'm willing to roll the dice on that versus say that all three teams will not beat the spread. So I'm not thrilled about the bet. It's just the lesser of the evils.
If the Bengals win, I'm buying the Joe Burrow hat from Waggle. And I encourage all you to do it as well. The GOAT hat, getyourwaggleon.com. I hope all of you filled your baskets on Cyber Monday, by the way. They had some great deals there. But if you missed it, I mean, amazing products and the GOAT hat in particular.
There you go. All right, last one, Isha, your pig. Who is going to get fucking roasted?
This is
going
to be a fucking hell of a roast, too. A hell of a roast. I got the Dallas Cowboys roasting.
Shout out Rupe Hintz, big boy money.
I literally had that on my mind. I just can't get it off my mind. That's unbelievable. We'll get into that on the hockey podcast. Dallas Cowboys roasting the Indianapolis Colts. Roasting, absolutely roasting, over the fire. Like red hot coals, massive flames, destroy them.
All right, fair enough. This one feels easy to me just because of what I just talked about for the Kansas City Chiefs. I think the LA Rams are so far gone at this point. I think the Seattle Seahawks just lost a close game to the Vegas Raiders at home. That one stings. They are definitely looking for a bounce back. They are playing on the road, but again, one of the worst home advantages is Los Angeles in the league, and this team is fucking garbage. Right now, Seattle's catching -4.5. I would absolutely smash that bet, but I got to pick a pig. I have no problem saying that they will roast the LA Rams, meaning that they will beat them with a -9 instead of a -4.5.
Good pick. Seattle's been on a roll this year.
Yes, yes. But that is all we've got.
I love how Russell Wilson leaves and they start like, there's new life to that organization. It's a beautiful thing.
That's kind of hilarious that's how that works.
That like Carroll's still there, but they're they're like rejuvenated.
Really interesting game to bring up for the man debate, because we've got two teams that could have qualified playing in the Monday night game. I don't know what to expect. This could be just the most clusterfuck boring game ever, or it could end up being something electric. We have the Tampa Bay Buccaneers hosting the New Orleans Saints, and Tampa Bay's laying 6. And with how they've been playing, again, I know the Saints haven't been good either. I just can't imagine the Tampa Bay Buccaneers laying 6 against 90% of the teams in this league.
Yeah, yeah.
This is an important game for both teams if you want to have any chance to represent the NFC South. Just one to watch out for that I have zero interest in betting on, because I just don't have a clue with either of these teams. They're so confusing to me. The New Orleans Saints just need to bench the Red Rocket and they'd probably be way more competitive. I know he was good at one point in time. He's not there anymore. Andy Dalton is not a quarterback.
Yeah, they need to continue to turn the page too and find an identity. The Saints, but my boy Devin, shout out Hold the Mayo. He's had a tough year falling the
Saints. You know what? He had several good years. So, right. Like,
yeah. He's still got his Drew Brees, okay. Glasses on right now, and he's just still sulking in him not being part of the team, probably.
Tell as you what, well man, as others. Drew Brees is one of my favorite football players ever. Like, just the way he played the game. Again, nothing to do with off-field stuff, like whatever you want to make of things that happened of late. Just his play on the field, like, he was one of my favorite guys to watch. As far as quarterbacks go, he's probably my favorite.
And he had a pretty long career too. What, he was like mid-30s when he retired?
Well, he's kind of one of those, this is a big, big stretch, but a Mario Lemieux reclamation kind of guy. Like, they thought his career was over. He played out in LA. He was with the Chargers. And like, weirdly enough, I was kind of a Drew Brees fan from that, because that was before I was really that into football.
Yeah.
And my brother and one of his buddies were like diehards for the Chargers because LaDainian Tomlinson was the man. Like, he was literally the first like elite breakout, like, carry your entire fantasy football team guy, and plus the tinted visor doesn't hurt either, and those electric baby blue unis. But he ended up getting hurt, shoulder surgery. They didn't know if he'd come back. Then it ended up being down to the Miami Dolphins or the New Orleans Saints. He ended up going New Orleans, and they wrote history. Quite the history from there. And Vikings fans obviously hate the Saints because of Bounty Gate. I still think that it sucks. Like, that Vikings team could have won a Super Bowl, no question. I don't know that, like, a bounty is, like, it's super, super scummy, and it's something that, like, is very unethical. I just, like, the players could just as easily just go out there and decide they want to fucking murder Brett Favre too. Like, I don't see where the bounty really is that big of a deal in the grand scheme of things. You'll all yell at me and tell me I'm wrong. That's totally fine. I can see both sides of it. It sucks that, yeah, they were taking their liberties going after good old Silver Fox. But at the end of the day, Brett Favre lost that game for the Vikings. They were in a position to win. He throws that interception at the end of the game. I will stand by it. I think that Vikings win that game if he doesn't have that boneheaded throw and just fucking goes down or throws it away.
There's like, so many gates in the NFL, dude.
Gates?
There's Bounty Gate. There's Deflate Gate. There's
Antonio Gates.
The list goes on. It's funny because, like, in hockey, that or 90s and 2000s hockey, like, that was like the enforcer's job was Bounty Gate. It was just like, put a player out on the ice and make sure you light them up. Literally a line from the Goon movie. You see that number? Light them up.
Oh, shit. Oh,
man. Two violent sports, very different cultures.
Yes, very, very different. But, okay. I've already told you several times, but the third time is when it sticks. And actually, no, three in a row.
Yeah.
BetterEdge.com/SodaPod. 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 That's spelled BETTOR, Edge.
It's free money to play with, folks. Let's go.
Jump in and just throw your 20 on something ridiculous. And if you lose, then it's up to you if you want to keep playing or not. But I think you'll get the itch a little bit and want to keep going.
Put it this way. Out of all of our partners that we have right now, this is the one where you actually get some free shit by signing up or, you know, supporting them. So like that should be your go-to before you even munch some Seventh Ave, before you even throw on your Waggle Golf shirt or hat,
why not do it all at the same time?
Well, I only got two arms. I mean,
really? Because you can wear the Waggle gear. You can eat pizza with one hand. You can take the occasional sip of your Northland vodka with the other hand. And you can place bets with the hand that you're juggling back and forth on the vodka.
You know what? You're right. No excuse. No excuse.
You know what? Guess what? Just smash your head on the keyboard. You'll make
just,
a bet.
I was just going to say. I have a thumb.
Dane Cook stand up.
Oh, my God. I actually just listened. He was on.
How dare you? Headbutt.
He was just on Steve-O's podcast recently. Really cool story. I don't know if you knew this, and we'll end soon, folks, but just a cool tidbit now since it's fresh of mine. His brother, Dane Cook's brother, like, is in prison or served time in prison for, like, literally, like, extorting millions of dollars out of Dane. And, like, Dane Cook has a good relationship with his nephew and everything like that, but, like, refuses any, obviously, just to speak to his brother anymore. And he gets into that story and, like, his crazy rise to fame in, like, the mid-2000s. And it's a really good podcast. Whether you listen to Steve-O's podcast or not, if you were a fan of Dane Cook back in the day, really, really cool to hear, like, basically his story.
Is his nephew's name Jack Johnson?
No. Oh, ha, ha, ha.
Jesus.
I was like,
No more jokes. End it.
It took me a second to get there. Jesus. End it. End it. You end this one, don't you?
Not after that.
Well, you didn't like that? Oh, man. Folks, again,
I thought that one was on a silver platter.
Oh, man. I mean, I know. No excuse. Just like not supporting all our partners at the same time. No excuse, folks. 7th Avenue Pizza, Northland Vodka, Better Edge, Waggle Golf. Absolutely love working with them all. Please go support them. Like and subscribe on YouTube. Leave a kind review, iTunes and Apple Podcasts, the whole 9 yards. We love hearing from you. We want you guys to interact with us on Better Edge too. Again, even if it's just on social media, being like, hey, I heard your picks. You want to talk about them? Hit us up at the Soda Pod. Totally interactive. With that, signing off, I'm Yusha Jeromey alongside the State of Hoppy. This has been Straight Hash, homie. We good, man?
We good.
Don't fear, just drink some beer. USA, USA. What's the score, man? It's still 1-0.
1-0 at the 77th minute, which we're talking about, like, Rogers going down and looking like a bitch. This is the reason I can't watch soccer, man. But yes, go USA.
Don't fear, just drink some beer and stay wild.